Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to have a longtime friend, colleague, associate, Dennis Camino, who's done brilliant work on JFK 9/11. He was the Navy's top electronics troubleshooter before he resigned from the Navy and went to work for Raytheon. There are aspects of what's gone here with this FBI raid that are especially valuable to have Dennis's input on. So I want to begin with a sketch of the situation as I understand it, and then have Dennis give us his extended thoughts about it. I have much more. I believe this is going to go down historically as one of the greatest political blunders of recent time, and that it's going to redound to the benefit of the Republican Party generally, conservatives overwhelmingly, and Donald Trump specifically. Whatever you think about Trump, I think they have made a colossal mistake here, and that it has galvanized support for Trump. Now, here are the basics. This had to do, in terms of the cover story, a pretext having to do with documents that were being negotiated between the National Archives and Trump campaign. Some 15 boxes ostensibly originally taken from the West Wing. We have photographs of the boxes. Now, there had been long ongoing negotiations about the return of some of the contents, that there was no apparent urgency about it whatsoever, and where the normal legal procedure, if indeed there were some necessity for the National Archives to recover these, would be to issue a subpoena that would lead to, say, Trump having his lawyer produce the documents at a time and place specified by the National Archives. Instead, they treat it as though a matter of great urgency by having a warrant for what was the equivalent of a no-knock raid on Mar-a-Lago. They chose, when Trump would not be present there to represent himself and to deal with these things. Yes? Paul, I'm on the air. Call me back later, my friend. I think the equivalent of a no-knock raid, so that what was going on here would be only the sort of thing to do with great urgency. Now, get this. The warrant was signed on Friday the 5th. but it wasn't executed until Monday the 8th. So that belies that there was any urgency about it or even that they needed a warrant. Not only that, but when the FBI showed up en masse, there were 30 armed agents as though they were conducting a raid on a drug house, for example, and were concerned that there was going to be an attempt to get rid of the evidence. I mean, about as ridiculous as it gets. They would not share the warrant with Trump's attorney, a very nice, amicable woman whom I've seen interviewed about this. They only showed her the warrant from 10 feet away, so she couldn't possibly read it. They asked to turn off the cameras, the security cameras, because the house is full of security cameras. This happened initially, and the Trump staff turned off the security cameras. But get this, she had them turned back on. So that in a new report now, she's explained how, because she was at the end of the driveway, they wouldn't allow her to supervise what was going on. They were rummaging through all kinds of parts of the house, especially his private office. They brought in a safe cracker to crack his safe. They were rummaging through Melania's closet, her wardrobe, even her drawers, and I'm suspicious that they were panty sniffing, that the FBI is so low that this is among their activities there. But she said that because the cameras were turned back on, that actually the Trump family in New York had a better view of what was going on than did she, even though she was on the estate because they kept her out of the way. Now, they appear to have taken a dozen boxes out, but the question is, what they may have left in. Trump himself has raised a prospect that they may have planted evidence, but more significantly, I think, planted listening devices. They have tried everything to get rid of Trump, not just one, but two impeachments. Now you got the January 6th, you got the false allegations of having incited an insurrection when there was no incitement and there was no insurrection. They've edited evidence, they've excluded cross-examination, they have no representation of the other side, where Jim Jordan and Jim Holt of Ohio and Indiana, respectively, were appointed by Kevin McCarthy. But Nancy Pelosi overrode that for the first time in the history of the House, that she denied the minority party the right to appoint its own members. Now it appears they were then using an obscure aspect of the 14th Amendment that says anyone who cites an insurrection cannot hold federal office. And now we have a similar, if anything, even more obscure provision related to National Archive documents, that if anyone mutilates, steals, destroys National Archive, they cannot run for office. But I'm telling you, this whole thing has created a absolute shambles for the FBI. It's been regarded as disgraceful. The whole world is askance. Merrick Garland, who didn't want to confront the issue, is now in the embarrassing predicament of having to come out and talk about having actually signed off on the warrant. And Dennis, we have a body language expert who just went through the whole case and said this was very, very shabby. There were signs of deception, of unease. When they even talked about possibly having planted evidence, there was a fellow standing before Garland who tilted his head down because he didn't want to show his face. By her interpretation, it was an utterly corrupt act, and the body language revealed it. Personally, I have no doubt that all the facts, as I've just enumerated them, are a damning indictment of the FBI, which has been known to be scurrilous in its activities in the past and where they appear to operate on behalf of corrupt elements of the government personally, because Garland used the language deplorable. There was a word deplorable in there. I see the signs that Hillary Clinton masterminded this entire operation. Now, Dennis, I'm so delighted to have you here. I want you to have all the time you want. I have other related stories, but I thought this would be a great point of departure.
I'd appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about it. As you know, I haven't really been a Donald Trump fan for a very long time, but I got to tell you, this BS that they just pulled, I call it the Department of Just Us, it's just them. you know, without any oversight of any kind. And they haven't had any oversight since they participated in the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy in 1963. So, I mean, we're talking about a rogue organization that gets to do what it wants. It's headed by one of the most corrupt pieces of garbage that ever was known to walk the face of the earth. It was owned and operated by the Cosa Nostra in the form of J. Edgar Homo, as I call him. You know, there's been many observations about the timing on this. And by the way, most people are unaware of the fact that there's a kind of an unwritten rule that says that they have an obligation to remain physically clear and free of interfering with an election process for a period of 90 days prior to the event. And of course, the raid occurred 91 days out. So, obviously there's a clock that they were looking at here. And furthermore, if they really had something that was that pressing that they needed to get, like you mentioned the fact that the warrant was signed, you know, 3 days before they actually went in to execute it, clearly there was no urgency to do anything, or else they would have gone right in there immediately after getting it signed. They would have, it didn't matter what time of the day or night it was, they would have just gone and done it and gotten it over with. But the whole purpose here was clearly to create a spectacle that would attract the attention of the mindless morons in this country that believe that there's, you know, real justification for it. So at the risk of sounding, you know, crass and rude, I'm 150% in the camp of Trump here, in the sense that, you know, he has rights just like anybody else, no matter what anybody might think of him. And as you're well aware of the fact, I've never really been a proponent of his ever. But I got to tell you that this is such an egregious and substantial criminal act against him carried out by a rogue organization that really should be disbanded now for what they do, because they're not really there for the good and the well-being of the American people. They're there to be a tool for whoever actually holds power. So I think that this, in the end, is going to play itself out as being one of the most reprehensible overreaches and breaches of jurisprudence that probably has occurred in probably the last 10 or 15 years, strictly by virtue of the fact that Moishe Garfinkel, the attorney general, as I call him, really had no legitimate probable cause to really go in there and take anything. And as you have very adroitly mentioned, more than likely an episode whereupon they went in and planted listening devices and also probably evidence that would be planted in the house because it wasn't allowed to be supervised. And of all things, at the very minimum, Trump's attorney should have been allowed to participate as an observer. And if they sequestered her in a position where she wasn't able to see anything from the end of the driveway, that's ridiculous. But this whole thing clearly is a staged photo op, and it's clear that the intent is to, in some way, make it clear that they don't want Trump to run again in 2024, which, by any estimation, if we actually really had a real system in this country, which we haven't had since November 22nd, 1963, Trump would be able to do whatever he wants because no matter what you think of him, he hasn't done anything that puts him in a position relative to the election that would disqualify him. So, like I said, I've never been an advocate of the man, and I've not really liked him at all. But in all fairness, they have so wronged him and so blatantly stepped on his civil rights as a citizen that, like I said, if we had a real system, he would be entitled to the compensatory damages for what they've done with this fake raid. So, I'm not, I have not, no no dog in the fight to support Trump, but I have to support the man in the sense that he's entitled to due process, and they completely denied it to him. So for what it's worth, I'm mustering in on Trump's side here. I never thought that the day would come when I'd actually have to 150% or 200% support the man, but I actually have to support any effort that his side would take to make this be shown as an egregious violation of his rights as an American. This is ridiculous and disgusting, and it makes me ashamed to have served in the military of a nation that has gone so rogue and become so lawless that it pulls stunts like this. We must be the laughing stock on the global stage at this point, based on all the screw ups with the Ukraine, and hopefully we'll talk about that in this discussion. But like I said, I'm on Trump's side on this 150-200% for sure.
So Dennis, those comments are all so welcome. You have no idea, and I believe an awful lot of the public who felt exactly as you did, perhaps looking at Trump a bit askance. I thought he was a breath of fresh air and that he's done everything he can to clean up the government with a mixed success, because there were so many inside his administration who were working against him. They'd have meetings in the Oval Office where he'd explain what he wanted them to do, and they'd agree. And as soon as they stepped out of the Oval Office, they'd look at one and say, "We're not going to do that. You know, hell no." I think he was sandbagged. I think he was undermined. I do believe with his idea for Schedule F, we're going to reclassify members of the executive service who constitute the deep state, have been virtually immune from being fired by a new level of administration. For those who are in policy shaping and decision-making positions, that they can be fired, that he is going to put himself in a position to drain the swamp in a very literal fashion that it was unable to do heretofore. So I think if they were to commit a single error that was going to make a huge difference, this is it. And your point about the timing is impeccable. Yes, within 90 days of an election, and that would be the midterm election, these agencies have an understood policy that they do not commit any operation, undertake any investigation, the publicity of which would affect the outcome of the election. And here, as you note, 91 days just to escape the 90-day provision they executed on a Monday. And I reiterate, when the warrant was signed on Friday, if there were anything imminent about it, then they would have executed immediately already on Friday. But they waited until Monday. Dennis, I think this is completely devastating and is going to have all kinds of boomerang effects. It puts a shame to Merrick Garland, who is, I agree with you, he's the equivalent of legal excrement. The very idea this guy could have been nominated for the Supreme Court is simply appalling. For Christopher Wray has played the same role in relation to the Hunter Biden laptop that his predecessor James Comey played in relation to the Anthony Weiner laptop, which has such scurrilous material that there were seasoned New York police and detectives who watched some of the content who were reduced to tears because of the horrific action she and Huma Abedin were undertaking, including the torture and the horrific murder of a young girl about 13, 14 years old, which are contained there with a video, Dennis, I mean, and that the government has not acted on this. I mean, Hillary Clinton is one of the most repulsive individuals to ever walk the face of Earth, and she ought not to be. She should be already 6 feet under. The evidence is there. The failure to prosecute is appalling. But it's clear the FBI is being used to suppress and cover up information on behalf of the Democrat Party, which has gone. Every action this guy, this fake Biden, has taken since they stole the election in 2020 has been damaging to the United States from the beginning, when his first act in office was to cancel the XL pipeline and federal permits, drilling permits on federal land, where one of Trump's great achievements had been making us energy independent, and he immediately sacrificed that great benefit to the detriment of the American people. Dennis, it is disgusting beyond words. Your thoughts?
Disgusting. We left the disgusting station a long time ago. We're in a realm that I have no words for relative to the disarray and outright criminality of what this nation has morphed into. So just to put it bluntly and get it all out there, I mean, we're in such very, very dire straits relative to the whole entire globe decoupling from the, I call it the zero dollar, which is an imperative if they want to survive. They have no choice now but to ditch it. We have such unparalleled debt. But most people are unaware of the fact that in probably 3 years, our debt will double, to approximately $60 trillion, although that people just look at these numbers and go, well, what do they really mean? They're meaningless. Well, we're at a point already before we even get 3 years out where we can't really service the debt and pay the interest on it. So we're in a state of financial collapse. I don't know whether it could have been staved off no matter who was in office. I think this train was going to hit the wreck, have the collision no matter what, because we've been spending money. As was pointed out in a recent thing that I watched, in more than 250 years that the United Untitled Snakes has existed, the debt that we have accrued, we've increased it by approximately 20% in just a couple years. And when you think about the percentage of increase in just a small two-year period, it's the death knell for the Republic. I mean, we can't survive this. So, there's been many brilliant people out there, including Frederick C. Blackburn, who has very adroitly clarified exactly what the point of this all is and who's driving it. We know who it is. It's a tribe that got out of Khazaria after adopting Judaism about 746 AD. So they're at the helm of a destruction agenda to destroy the United States. So, I mean, we have big problems here that even if everybody were working on them, they couldn't be addressed in a way that could even ameliorate the effects that we're going to have to live with. We're living through the very end of the Republic. And unfortunately, it'll be a violent and ugly, calamitous end that most people have no idea how bad it'll get, but it'll be beyond anything they can imagine, even in their wildest nightmares. So these things that are going on relative to the outrageous illegal activities of the U.S. federal government in so many ways, including this war that they've fomented in Ukraine to fight a proxy war against Russia, and now picking a similar war with China, which is a ludicrous, asinine mistake beyond all possible belief, and miscalculation that goes way off the scale. And I've written two letters to my former representatives in the hellhole that I came out of, which is Oregon, telling them that they have so egregiously compromised the national security of the United States of America that they should hang their heads in shame for what they've done. And of course, I get nonsensical replies back, but in the summary judgment here, relative to the path that we're on, I'm in this boat now where, regardless of what happens in the midterm, or even in 2024, that the United States is collapsing, and a Herculean effort, even if it were mounted to prevent it, couldn't happen soon enough. It would have had to happen 45 years ago to really prevent it. But now we're in a place where, for all practical purposes, the phrase of the cake is baked is pretty much the case. So I don't know what we can do short of, hanging our heads in sorrow and then maybe write the eulogy for the Republic, because we're in a point where we really should be having a requiem mass for what the United States is now descended onto, its final destruction, under not just one party, but two parties that have really been tamping the dirt on it for a very long time. I'm one of those very pragmatic people that looks at the results much more so than, the glitz of one, blue or red side. So I'm more in the boat of show me the money, show me what you've done for us as a country. And neither of these parties have done anything meaningful for us. And furthermore, they both participated willy-nilly in the destruction of not only the United States of America, but the livelihoods and the ability to sustain themselves of 300 million people on this continent, and untold hundreds of millions of people across the globe that they have so egregiously harmed with wars that should have never happened. So, I mean, I can't tell you how sad and how terribly sullen I am to look at the state of the United States today. So even though I've been predicting this for a very long time, the one thing that I hadn't been able to predict is how disgusting and how surreal it would become at the very end. And this transcends all of my predictions by many, many echelons of levels. So we're in a very bad way. And I have, you know, a lot of solutions, but the solutions that I have would never be implemented because we don't have a government that works for and by the people, and we haven't since 1963. What we have is a cabal that works from the shadows.
Dennis, yes, you're still there. I'm worried Dennis may have inadvertently been cut off in terms of audio. He's making so many excellent points. He's reconnecting now to the audio. Dennis, if you can hear me, well, it's on my mind. I'm willing to conjecture the FBI has planted as many as 100 listening devices in every aspect of the Mar-a-Lago to which they had access. And because of your background in electronics as a Navy's top troubleshooter, I want to know, is there a way in which Trump can detect those devices and neutralize them? We'll address that question when we come back from this break. Hopefully Dennis will have rejoined us by that point.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm very glad Dennis is reconnected. Dennis, I don't know if you caught the question I was raising just before we got cut off, but given that they may have planted, I'm going to surmise, 100 listening devices all over Mar-a-Lago, is Trump going to be able to detect and nullify those devices using electronic scanning techniques? Could you comment on that, given your expertise in this area? Dennis, were you cut off again? I'm showing you here. Dennis, please reconnect if you can. Meanwhile, I just speak up as soon as I can hear you. Dennis, are you there? Well, we report that an informer told the FBI what documents Trump was hiding and where. The raid on Mar-a-Lago is based largely on info from an FBI confidential human source who was able to identify the classified documents Trump was still hiding, and even the location of those documents, two senior government officials told Newsweek. But he doesn't appear to have been hiding anything. These were all documents that he was in negotiation with the National Archives. Here we have Zero Hedge reporting. FBI had mole inside Mar-a-Lago. According to Newsweek, the FBI had a confidential human source, a mole, who was able to identify what classified documents former President Trump was still hiding and even the location. Ted Cruz tweets, "The FBI is again sending undercover informants to target President Trump. It's a crossfire hurricane debacle all over again, this time likely at behest of the Attorney General." Here's Julie Kelly. "No biggie. Chris Wray ran an FBI informant into Trump world to root out a violation of the Presidential Records Act. Sounds legit. But the Trumps have revealed more about Monday's raid. For starters, Eric told the Daily Mail the 30 agents who arrived at the property asked staff to turn security cameras off and to kick their lawyer off the property, but they refused. They told our lawyer, you have to leave the property right now, turn off all the security cameras. Eric added they would not give her the search warrant, so they showed it to her from about 10 feet away. They'd not give her a copy. He said the FBI brought a safe cracker in to break his father's safe and that they rummaged through Melania's wardrobe. It's all a coordinated attack with the FBI, said the former president's son, insisting that President Biden approve the raid. Frankly, Biden is so incompetent, I don't think they would have even, he wouldn't have understood anything about it. So Merrick Garland has come forward to say that it was he who authorized. Do you think the FBI director is going to raid a former president's house, especially a house, as you know, kind of world-renowned, as Mar-a-Lago, in a place as public as Mar-a-Lago without getting the approval of President Biden? By not turning off the security cameras, Eric said they saw the FBI raiding areas of the property they should not have been. What, after all, right would they have to go through Melania's wardrobe or through her drawers? I mean, this is outrageous. Donald Trump lamented the FBI blocked his lawyers from the property during the raid and suggested they may have planted evidence. I think that's correct. The FBI and others from the federal government would not let anyone, including my lawyers, be anywhere near the areas that were rummaged and otherwise looked at during the raid, he wrote. Everyone was asked to leave the premises. They want to be left alone without any witnesses to see what they were doing, taking, or hopefully not, planting. As the Epoch Times has noted, about two dozen agents entered the Trump-owned resort at 9 a.m. Monday and left with a handful of boxes of documents. Trump spokeswoman Christina Bob, she's actually his attorney. I didn't actually get to oversee the search. They wouldn't let anybody see what they were doing. Obviously, because they were doing things they didn't want anyone to see. FBI agents were looking for what they deemed to be presidential records, Bob continued. I don't think there was anything of substance. Bruce Reinhardt, a Florida federal magistrate judge, very low ranking, but he appears to have been formerly a federal prosecutor involved in Jeffrey Epstein, but switched sides. He resigned from the feds and went to work for Epstein and assisting his pilots and his scheduler, and someone described as his Yugoslavian sex slave. That was Bruce Reinhardt's role there. He signed the warrant. Here we have, working as a federal prosecutor until 2008 when he became a defense attorney representing employees, a convicted sex trafficker and wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein. Employers included Epstein pilot, a scheduler, and others. That would be the sex slave. The Marigo raid warrant was issued on August 5th, a day after FBI Director Christopher Wray testified to the Senate Judiciary Committee and was asked about whistleblower reports on whether his agency was becoming increasingly politicized. He had to cut the questioning short because he needed to travel. Though it turns out, get this, what a convenient excuse. Flight records showed he used an FBI jet to travel to a vacation retreat in upstate New York. So, yeah, he had to catch a plane, meaning he had to get his ass out of there because he didn't want to answer their questions. What a disgrace. All by himself, that would justify firing Christopher Wray. If we had an administration with any integrity whatsoever, which, of course, alas, we know is not the case. In mid-January, the National Archives arranged for the transport from Mar-a-Lago of 15 boxes the archives said contained presidential records. Under the Presidential Records Act, they should have been transferred in January of 2021 as Trump left office. Some included classified information. By the way, for those who may not be aware, the president can declassify any documents whatsoever. He has that authority. Agents initially resisted showing Bob the warrant, but ultimately did. they would not allow any representatives to oversee the search. The justification remains under seal. Trump's legal team plans to ask the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Florida to unseal the warrant affidavit, which outlined why authorities asked for it in the first place. The Epoch Times contacted the FBI for comment, but neither the Bureau nor Attorney General Garland have offered comment until yesterday, when, as I observe, a body language expert said there was appalling deception there and unease about the questions about having planted evidence or listening devices. Here, I think we've got Dennis back. I'm so hopeful. Yes, Dennis, can you hear me, my friend? Good work.
Yeah, I dialed in because I was completely unable to do anything with the computer. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, fine, Dennis. Please do. I don't know if you caught my question, but if, as I surmise, the FBI may have planted as many as 100 listening devices throughout Mar-a-Lago, will Trump be able to use electronic devices to detect and nullify those listening devices based on your vast experience as the Navy's top electronics troubleshooter? Can you help understand what Trump can do if this is indeed the case, as I suspect to be the case?
Yeah, he needs to probably have experts come in and bug sweep the place and really go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Obviously, the stuff they used had to be wireless, and obviously it's short range because it's sort of to be able to easily be hidden. It's probably very small without a very large power supply to generate a sufficient power to push a heavy signal out of there. So the monitoring that the federal government would be doing would be adjacent to the premises. In other words, they probably have at least one or two, maybe even three or more vehicles positioned around the perimeter with directional antennae on the vehicles that can pull in the signals and record everything that they hear. So if being that it's going to be wireless, obviously it's going to be on a radio frequency link, and experts would be able to find these. Whether they could effectively hear what's being recorded would be another matter, because the technology exists for the FBI to have encryption on the transmissions on those bugs that they planted. So being probably very unlikely to be able to listen, but there's a chance they could. So like I said, if Trump is probably with at least one person, if not several in the entourage, to understand that if they planted devices, that they need the bug sweep. So, and the other thing too is that they need to start getting their legal stuff in a row to counterfoil what's going on here in a way that effectively forces the government to remove the listening devices, because they have no legitimate reason to violate his privacy where he lives. I mean, they can make all kinds of egregious claims that they think that are relevant to what they're doing, but they have to operate within the law. And if they're not, then we're going to become fully a banana republic in every way, make it form, which I believe we already have been for a long time in the eyes of everyone in the world. And obviously, you don't have to answer to anyone, but this stuff is so outside of the auspices of legality that it's in a whole new universe all by itself. It's ridiculous. So, like I said, I would tend to think that Trump has the people there that has a twofold thing: one, a legal counterfoil against the federal government to go after them for what they've illegally done, and then secondarily, they need to bug sweep the place and make sure that his privacy is not being violated every minute that he's in the premises. And then, in the meantime, if he really wants to ensure that he has privacy, he might be better off vacating Mar-a-Lago and leaving a security detail there to keep it under control. And I don't think at this point in time that he can trust any member of the Secret Service that have been attached to his security detail, because they answer to the the people that pay them, not him. So he's kind of in a bind. He might have to do something like get out of Mar-a-Lago temporarily until it can be ascertained that the place is bug-free and that there's been no planted evidence that would have been installed in the premises that would be intended to incriminate him. So it's a twofold thing, and the longer he stays there without taking measures to make sure that the situation gets remedied, he's only playing into their hands. He doesn't want to do that.
I bet 100% he's already having the place swept. Just as you, who have not been enthusiastic about Trump, have sided with him on this issue, we have a former Governor Andrew Cuomo, a longtime critic of Trump, saying on Twitter Tuesday, the Department of Justice must immediately explain the reason for its raid, and it must be more than a search for inconsequential archives, or it will be viewed as a political tactic and undermine any future credible investigation and legitimacy of the January 6th investigations. DOJ must disclose the bona fide nature of the August 8th action, or else the Republicans will use it to discredit the January 6th investigation, which, this is Cuomo now, would be a terrible disservice to the good work of the House committee in exposing Trump administration violations, which I believe, frankly, are non-existent, that this was an FBI, Capitol Police, Nancy Pelosi operation. It was seated with all kinds of Antifa members. James, the brother of John Sullivan, explained how his brother had led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters. Last year, of course, Cuomo resigned amid allegations he'd engaged in misconduct with staffers, which he has categorically denied, but there were quite a few. Republicans made similar observations. Chuck Grassley, among the few really rock-solid Republicans in the Senate, said, last night's raid on the home of a former U.S. president without explanation will only further erode confidence in the FBI and the Justice Department. I reiterated those concerns to Director Wray today. If the FBI is extraordinarily transparent about its justification for yesterday's action and committed to rooting out political bias that's infected their most sensitive investigations, they will have sealed their own fate. The FBI's mission and the many patriotic agents who work hard to carry it out will be forever overshadowed by the distrust the Bureau has shown. Dennis, I think those were excellent statements, and even from Andrew Cuomo. I've never been a fan of Cuomo. I thought he was, arrogant, self-absorbed, a totally zealous Democrat doing everything he can to undermine the Trump administration. But even he, like you yourself, are siding with Trump in this instance. Your further thoughts?
Well, it's not so much picking a side and then and staunchly standing on that side for the person, it's
right.
For the principle strictly. I mean, even if this was somebody that I even had even more disdain for than I did for Trump, and to be quite frank about it, in analysis over the time that we've had this new puppet installed that replaced him. I had no illusions about what we were going to get with who I call Bidet Boy. I don't have any use for him in any way, make or form. But having said that, over time after time after time, if you look back at conversations we have had, I have asked a question that went unanswered for a very long time. I said, for a man that is, what he is, why is there so much unbelievable effort to uninstall him? And, I'm not saying that there's any part of the government that actually does anything right, because that's really that's ridiculous to even surmise that in any way, make, or form. But when you look at the outrageous amount of effort that went into not only getting rid of him, but to sabotage him, every step of the way, it begs the question, for what reason? I mean, could you put a person, could you say, with a straight face that, well, it's because he was X, Y, and Z, he was a criminal, he was a grifter, he was this and that, notwithstanding any of the accusations, which really haven't gotten a lot of foundation, except in a couple cases where there's apparently some evidence to prove them. We have a dearth of evidence where there's really a whole lot of allegations made against him that without substantial evidence to support them, they're baseless and without foundation. So my question, going back to a couple of years ago when we had arguments, you know, about Trump and what he was and what he wasn't, I go back to my major question, which is why are these people so dead set to pull him out of there and get rid of him as a standing or sitting president? If they are on the side of the United States, they had many, many ways that they could make the case in a court of law. And, you know, they impeached him twice and it didn't work because the evidence, albeit there was some, it wasn't strong enough to really indict him. And to go back in time to the Ukraine support and the withdrawal of it, anybody with a working, functioning brain today would have to come to the very easy and direct conclusion that withholding the money from Ukraine was probably one of the wisest things that the United States government could ever have done, because the corruption in Ukraine was so deep because of the scumball dinocrats with their meat hooks, many sets of meat hooks, the Kerry family, the B'nai Boy himself, an Iraqi Jew with Iraqi Jewish roots, actually pretending to be a Catholic. I mean, we've got grifters up the yin yang on the Democrat Party that were in there installing their own government that created the 2014 coup that overthrew a legitimate Yanukovych government that, albeit might not have been squeaky clean, but it was parsecs ahead of this scumball playing the piano with his penis puppet that's in there, that actually has $1.6 billion stowed in various accounts and owns property all over the country, including the United States, all over the world, you know, because of the level of corruption. So if anything, you know, what they're doing is they're cementing and making sure that anything Trump did to forestall and delay paying that money to the Ukraine to even accelerate the probability of this war. By the way, this thing that we did in the Ukraine in 2014 has caused the deaths of 16,000 Russian-speaking peoples in the DPR and the LPR in the eastern side of the country because the Ukraine, completely ignored by the global community for what they were doing, incessantly shelling and murdering indigenous peoples in those republics that were breakaways from the corruption there. And we're unaware of the fact that this scumball Stepan Bandera, who most people have no clue who he was, that the Azov Battalion and many, many people in the Ukraine government, including the puppet that installed Zelensky himself, were Banderites, and there were Nazi acolytes there. So, I mean, not to digress way off the path, but I wanted to really get to the bottom of it, is that the fact that if Trump did anything right, the one good thing that he did do is withhold the funding to a corrupt regime that really had no deserving of a single red cent, let alone billions. And now this puppet that we have in the White House, I call it the whorehouse, has handed almost $60 billion to the SOB that plays the piano with his penis. So, I mean, the show has gotten to the point now where Kabuki Theater and Punch and Judy in Munich, whatever you want to call it, this is way off the scale. We're in a twilight zone relative to the lawlessness that the United States is under. And to take this one step further, I think much of what's going on now with this Trump thing is basically a sideshow to divert everybody's eyes off the real issue, which is the decoupling of the dollar globally by almost every nation, and then secondarily the collapse of the United States financially. So, I mean, not to take anything away from Trump, because he absolutely positively should fight tooth and nail to get due process. He's been denied due process almost every step of the way. Going back to my original question, why was it so imperative that these SOBs take such an unbelievable action to dethrone him and to destroy his reputation and to unplug him if he wasn't possibly doing something that they didn't really like? I mean, that's the core question here. What was Trump up to that these scumballs really didn't want to see come to fruition? And I'm not trying to make Trump into a saint after the fact. I'm just saying that there must have been some agenda that he had that really made it imperative for these filth and vermin to uninstall him. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, no, Dennis, I like everything you're saying here, and I'm so glad we were able to reconnect. He made us energy independent. He shut down the border. He called out the fake news. I think those will be all enduring contributions. He gave us a robust economy already way back in 2019. Rasmussen was reporting that black likely voters, 40% were going to support Trump because they had seen their wages rise at the fastest rate, in part because of cutting down on the border. Their jobs weren't being undercut by illegal immigrants, to whom the Biden administration is rolling out the red carpet and giving them all kinds of benefits that are being denied to the American people and squandering these vast sums of money, taxpayer money that's not being used to benefit the taxpayers in any way, shape, or form, but the special interests of the Zionocrats. Because I agree with you, Dennis. I mean, the Zionist domination of the entire government is outrageous. Dennis, further, we're about to hit the break, but go ahead. Add a final thought before we hit.
No, like I said, I've never been in the Trump camp, relative to singing his praises. But to be fair to the man, in all honesty, all the egregious violations of his rights.
Dennis, we'll be right back with Dennis Camino after this break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, one of the side effects of the raid is that it has highlighted the role of Jesse Waters on Fox. Tucker has been on a vacation this week, well-deserved. He would normally be the guy you'd think to take the lead in attacking all this nonsense, but indeed it's been Jesse Waters rather than the sub for Tucker who has shown here. The first I learned about it was when Jesse interviewed Dan Bongino, who was simply enraged by all of this. He gave excellent commentary. Then they, in succession, featured Jonathan Turley, a constitutional lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, and a host of others. And whatever you may think of some of them, they were giving uniformly negative reports about what was going on. So before we continue with Dennis, I want to feature what Jesse had to say about this on Fox. Listen to this.
Fox News alert. The president and attorney general have now gone into hiding after the raid on the home of President Trump blew up in their face. For 2 days, they've ignored every question about this political invasion. Biden fled D.C. this afternoon on Air Force One, taking Hunter with him on another vacation. And Merrick Garland, no one knows where he is. He can't be found. And now the FBI is doing what it does best, is leaking and lying and trying to clean it all up. The Bureau told Newsweek they had undercovers inside Mar-a-Lago. The FBI had a mole at Mar-a-Lago. Newsweek says, quote, the raid on Mar-a-Lago was based largely on information from an FBI confidential human source, one who was able to identify what classified documents former President Trump was still hiding, and even the location of those documents. So the FBI had a mole in the Trump campaign, had moles in the Trump administration, and now they have a mole in Mar-a-Lago. And the guy who's running the FBI field office in D.C. is the same guy who had moles in the Gretchen Whitmer fake kidnapping plot. And you wonder why the FBI can't stop a single mass shooting, can't protect the Supreme Court justices, can't stop Chinese spies from sleeping with Eric Swalwell, can't sniff out Chinese spies driving Dianne Feinstein around, can't stop the Chinese from stealing our secrets, can't stop the Russians from hacking our pipelines, couldn't stop Epstein. But they can stop what happens at Trump's Palm Beach estate. And that's only half the story. Today, we learned how this whole thing got started. The guy that runs the National Archives, an Obama appointee, David Fierro, this little liberal librarian, it started with him. So he was watching TV on Inauguration Day, saw Trump's entourage carrying some boxes into Marine One as he left the White House. And he says this, I can remember watching the Trumps leaving the White House and getting off in the helicopter that day. And someone carrying a white banker box and saying to myself, what the hell's in that box? So this liberal librarian called the Department of Justice and said, hey, guys, can you get my stuff back? That belongs to me. I want to know what's in that box. How do I know this guy's a lib? Well, he took it upon himself to add a trigger warning to the Declaration of Independence at the archives. The librarian. Because we hold these truths to be self-evident might give you an anxiety attack. This is the same little librarian that when Hillary had millions of sensitive documents in her country home, he didn't even try to get them back. He didn't lift a finger. Classified documents about Al-Qaeda, Benghazi, Russia. I didn't care. When Hillary bleached her server with all her precious documents that needed to be archived, did the librarian say anything? No, he didn't say anything. That's who this guy is. And the guy retired in April, perfect timing. Before he left, he told Joe Biden, ready? Just don't hire a white male to replace me. You guys get the picture? Not a Trump guy. He said January 6th was the worst day of his life. He watched it on TV like you and me. He wasn't in the Capitol or even across the street like AOC. This time, the whistleblower is a persnickety librarian who misses Barack Obama. Obama took 30 million documents back to Chicago for his library. The librarian loved it. You can't even see these documents. Obama said he was going to digitize them. Did that ever happen? Had they even built the library yet? And then there's Biden. All of his VP documents are at the University of Delaware. But when he gets accused of rape, you're not allowed to see it. Librarian's fine with that. So this librarian gets the feds involved, and they're working with Trump all year to get boxes back to the archives. Trump's cooperating. They even visited Mar-a-Lago. He poked his head in and said hi to the feds. The feds said, lock it up and keep it secure. Next thing you know, 30 guys with guns show up. Show Trump's lawyer the warrant. Don't let him keep the warrant. And spend 12 hours turning his mansion upside down. They wouldn't even let the lawyers watch what they were doing. Did they bug the place? Well, they bugged the campaign. And if they knew the archivists had told them what was missing, why didn't they just go in and grab what the archivist said was missing? Why'd they take all day, go into every room, grab box after box after box of stuff? See, now there's no chain of custody on the boxes. And if they plant evidence, Trump can't prove it. They planted evidence last time on the campaign. Remember the dossier, the moles. They doctored it, too, remember? That's how they got the warrant to spy. Oh, guys, and by the way, the FBI lawyer who doctored evidence to get the warrant just got his law license restored in D.C. No jail time. So he can go back to doctoring search warrants. I mean, practicing law. So they're all over the mansion. They're in Melania's closet. You think Trump's sewing classified documents into the back of Melania's Chanel dress? Do you really think that? What a bunch of perverts rummaging around the first lady's wardrobe. Again, Trump better sweep for bugs in the bedroom. It's like they have this really sick obsession with what goes on in his bedroom. Are they still looking for the P tape? And what's with the Democrats' sudden obsession with securing documents? Obama got hacked by Snowden and Chelsea Manning. They took everything. The DNC got hacked by the Russians, they say. Hillary's server was just wide open for business. Pretty much every enemy penetrated it. Ashley Biden leaves her diary in a halfway house. Hunter leaves his computer with a blind guy. The Democrats are literally throwing secret documents all over the world, willy-nilly. And we're worried about what's in a locked storage unit in Mar-a-Lago, guarded by the Secret Service. They're worried about a love letter from Little Rocket Man and a cocktail napkin. And a dinner menu. If Trump's not allowed to keep all this stuff, fine. Get a subpoena. He'll give it back. It's not like Trump won't cooperate. His campaign literally gave Robert Mueller millions of documents. Every email they ever sent during the campaign, they handed over. He's not going to burn it like Crooked. Is that why they raided the house? They thought he was going to start burning documents? Is that what their fake mole told them? The media knows how bad this looks. They don't even want you to call it a raid.
The quick, but I want to say important note for our audience. We keep hearing a lot of people call what the FBI did at Mar-a-Lago a raid. Words matter. And calling a court-authorized search a raid suggests some sort of degree of aggression and lawlessness that is simply inconsistent with the facts and the law. And those are the facts. Chuck, do I have that right?
You got that right.
Defining raid like a recession now, so this makes Biden look really scared of Trump. He says he doesn't know anything about the raid, but he also said he doesn't know anything about Hunter's business. And there's like 15 pictures of him with Hunter's business partners, plus the emails, the phone calls, the voicemails, the text messages, and the bank records. People cheat when they're scared. And the Republicans are rallying to Trump bigger than 2016. Everyone has his back now. He looks like he's the biggest threat to the corrupt Washington machine. Biden's so stupid that he tried to take Trump out and ended up nominating him instead.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe.
Let me just say, I think that Jesse is doing us all proud. Dennis, your thoughts? He covered quite a range of issues, and I think he was hitting it right out of the ballpark. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem that we've got going on is that we have a country that's in economic collapse, and I mean, can't sugarcoat it. It's apparent in all of the lies that the Fed tells about, they stopped inflation, blah, blah, blah. It was 8% in July, which is a lie. All this stuff is hogwash. And, what we don't need right now is a distraction, which is exactly what this is going to become. Everybody's going to be, mesmerized by the Mar-a-Lago thing and all the subterfuge that's going into trying to obfuscate the fact that we have a nation in financial collapse, entering a depression, probably the second time in the United States history. And it's unlikely to be one that we'll recover from. So the very last thing that we need right now is kabuki theater. I call it jubuki theater. It's more of a look, a squirrel, look over here, get your eyes off of what's going on around you in your life, where energy prices are skyrocketing, food is up more than 15 or 20%. Actually, food increases have been over 50% in just the last 30 days. And I just sent a report to a guy that does I call it JuLube, where it reports various economic problems throughout the country because of the collapse. So we're in a financial collapse from which we cannot easily get out of. Now we have all these factions of the government staging not only gun grab hoaxes, which they do with a great deal of alacrity now, and where they actually shoot them in advance probably. And we have implications of the United States Army with the one in Uvalde, where they used a Beechcraft King Air to provide secure voice comms to coordinate the whole event on the ground. So, all these things are going on, and now the spotlight is all, on this little compound in Mar-a-Lago. Not to take anything away from it. It's an egregious violation of almost every part of what you would call due process, which we haven't had for a very long time now in this country. But it's being done to try and change the outcome of the midterms in a way where dinocrats, as I call them, dinocrats, think that they're going to garner some favor. The unfortunate fact of life is, if they've done anything with this thing they conducted in Mar-a-Lago, they've solidified and actually amalgamated the support for a Trump run in 2024.
Not saying that, that the country could be saved by anyone at this point. I don't think any particular faction could pull us out of the morass that we're in. We're in the final phase of collapsing, and I don't think anyone can fix it now. It's late. The bad thing here that we've got going on is we have a nation that has completely departed from a concept of a thing called rule of law. Now, we're a rogue, out-of-control, nuclear-armed entity that can foist war and pestilence on the whole rest of the Earth, achieve hegemony over everyone. In fact, that hegemonic arm around everybody's neck is getting pried off with the formation of they call the Global South Alliance of the BRICS. A couple more nations will join it and make it even that much more powerful. So as the United States, I call it the unpeddled snake's relevancy in the world, completely evaporates and declines, we have this drama going on in our very illegitimacy that people or government, but I call it a cabal, to hell-bent for leather to keep one faction of two that both work for these SOBs in Tel Aviv and in London in Waddesdon. So I think we're in a very bad way here in the sense that we have a situation in the United States where this is akin to making the allegation that Nero was fiddling while Rome burned, because politically speaking, you know, the United States is burning. It's doomed. And the only way to stop it is to fight the fire directly, and there's no effort to do that right now. We have inflation that's not going to go away. We have a situation in the earth as a whole where the stupidity of a regime in Washington, D.C. is now denying Europeans their ability to have adequate energy to keep from freezing to death in the wintertime. And by the way, we're going to have one hell of a winter here in the United States as well, along with food shortages and possibly even food riots and things of that nature. So looking at a lot of bad things that are coming to fruition, the very last thing that we need right now in the United States is another diversion and getting. So not to take anything away from the import of what's going on situation. It's very important in the sense that it indicates once and for all that we have a system and a regime in power that absolutely pays no attention to adherence to a thing called rule of law. It doesn't have to abide by any law, and it makes up the rules as it goes along. And we've had this for more than 60 years since they murdered JFK in Dealey Plaza, but now with the mask off, it doesn't make any attempts to try and obfuscate what it really is. It's a monster, and it's out of control. And the unfortunate fact of life is that they're willing to do this kind of thing to Trump and these, almost 90,000 IRS agents that the Untitled Snakes wants to purchase with all the 40 caliber ammunition and weapons that they purchased in the last 5 years. To shake down Americans for every last nickel, dime, and quarter that they might have in their pocket. Almost adding insult to the injury being felt by every single American on the street. Best to go to the grocery store and take things off of a list that they're trying to check out with because they can't afford it. The economic collapse is so severe. Instead of the U.S. federal government working on trying to resolve the out-of-control inflation, which it caused, which can't really fix it, but this new thing that they've just now passed will exacerbate that and make it worse, to the point where the inflation will be even more out of control. My observation of it, I might have opined over this way too much, but I think it's intentional. None of these things are out of I'm taking them out of context and trying to apply accident to the term. It's a wash. It's all by intention. So these things that are going on, in my opinion, are obscenities because last thing the United States needs right now, with all the other problems on its plate, is another war with China, not to mention direct conflict between Zio-NATO and Russia. But we're looking at the United States being in such financial dire straits that we'll be reduced to a third or fourth world nation within 6 months, or if not outside a year from now, to the point where we're completely unplugged and irrelevant from the global stage entirety, even with our nuclear arsenal that we wield and hold up against everybody's boat. But we have severe problems that require a great deal of competent, sane leadership. We're getting none of that. And those are my concerns, is that we have little time to fiddle around and play stupid games by conducting these petty, politically incorrect and legally outrageous acts against the former president. And our nation is burning. It's dying on the vine, and we're in such deep trouble. I for the very first time in my life, had to come to grips with the fact that I will, in my lifetime, see the United States completely, utterly collapse. I've known it for a very long time, but the gravity, what's happening with the whole entire country and the instability in the world, such that I'm very glad that I don't have any surviving relatives that really could be harmed by the descendancy of the United States into chaos. Very glad that I'm effectively going to be one of the last of my bloodline. I'll have to watch my nation turn into a ball of crap. And hate to put it bluntly like that, but we are in such deep trouble that the last thing the United States needs is more subterfuge, more distractions, more diversions away from the very fact that we are completely collapsing. And that's where we're at.
Dennis, I think you've got it exactly right. Over 100 food processing plants, millions of turkeys, chicken, hogs have been slaughtered on the grounds they were supposed to be infected with COVID. I mean, it was absurd. We know the test has like a 97% false positive rate, that it wasn't designed for diagnosis, but over for research to multiply a specimen to give more samples that could be studied. The whole thing has been a monstrous fraud, reclassifying 38 million cases of flu 1 year, the following year only 2,000, because 37,998,000 were reclassified as COVID to create the false impression of a pandemic, which has brought about no one's death. There's been no change in the death rate from COVID in any age group, given the statistical studies we have, but from the vax, the situation is completely the opposite. Millions are dying from the vax. The total take is going to be in the billions who are going to die. I want to open the line for callers, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call and get you on with Dennis and me. In the meanwhile, Dennis, senior DOJ officials are blasting the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago as a spectacular failure, the worst of the bureaucracy in action. Two senior DOJ officials spoke with Newsweek, and Newsweek, of course, is mainstream, disclosed new details about what led up to the raid. They specifically planned to conduct it when President Trump was not present, and indeed he was in New York at the time. What a spectacular backfire, a senior DOJ official said, of the attempt to keep the raid low-key. The second official told Newsweek the FBI was seeking to avoid any media circus, but they created the very firestorm they sought to avoid in ignoring the fallout. The officials explained the FBI had been planning the raid for weeks after receiving information from a confidential source about allegedly classified documents being stored at Mar-a-Lago. Newsweek reported the informant both identified the docs and told investigators where they were located. Importantly, the sources told Newsweek Attorney General Merrick Garland did not have advanced knowledge about the specifics of the raid. Instead, FBI Director Christopher Wray approved it. That suggests that it would be Garland taking the fall for Wray, and Wray, notice, gets out of town as soon as he can. I know it's hard for people to believe, one of the DOJ officials said, but this was a matter for the U.S. attorney and the FBI. Despite claims Garland was not involved, Republican lawmakers are debating Garland and Ray face repercussions for the unprecedented raid. I've never been a fan of overusing impeachment, but I think there has to be an investigation. And if it warranted, there's going to have to be a look at whether or not the attorney general has misused his office for political purposes. Have they gone after a political opponent? I mean, this is beyond the pale, said Rand Paul. At a minimum, Garland must resign or be impeached. A search warrant must be published. Christopher Wray must be removed in the FBI reform from top to bottom, said Josh Hawley. Dennis, your thoughts about their reports?
Every single thing that they said. Not only did they have the FBI from top to bottom after they released these films that have so outstepped the boundaries of duties, but I think it's time to abolish it. It doesn't serve the American public in any meaningful waymaker form, probably from before its inception. It's a waste of money to be funding all these guys around these events, like this situation with the guy with allegedly a nail gun into an FBI. It was a threat to kill him.
Yes.
We're in a boat now where every single step of the way, going back to Chad Grisomo's tenure at the Federal Bureau of Instigation, or effing bastards of Israel is what I call them, but these guys are rogue and out of control, and they need to be abolished. I mean, and the same has to be done with the Central Intelligence Agency. The agency needs to be abolished and the building razed to the ground.
Hold that thought, Dennis. We'll be right back with Dennis Camino after this, our final break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we do have two callers standing by, Bruce from Texas and Paul from California. Bruce, I'm going to give you the first opportunity since you arrived on the scene first. Go ahead, Bruce, your thoughts.
Hey, hello, Jim. Hello, Dennis.
Go for it.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just want to tell you real quick, don't feed a seagull, because if you do, the next time you walk out, you're going to have 50 seagulls.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to get away from them. Sorry. And Dennis is cutting in and out a little bit. I'm not sure if it's his phone connection or he needs to be a little bit closer to the phone because he has real important
Bruce, he got cut off from the Zoom connection and he's had to call in. So that just goes with the territory. They don't want Dennis on the air. He has too much to say. Go ahead. Do you have a question for him?
Yes, I did. Well, I just sent you an email with a photograph, and this is pretty recent, of a jetliner that struck a light pole on a taxiway or runway. Not a runway. It has to be a taxiway. And the light pole was intersecting, is cutting through the wing. So, you know, so much for the Pentagon bending light poles into pretzels.
Good. Dennis will like that. He's done a lot on the Pentagon. Dennis, you want to pick up?
I thought that was pretty good. There's been some interesting stuff with airline crews in the not-so-distant past, but right now they're so desperate to get pilots and cockpits that they're going down to ridiculously low flight hours to like 100 or 200 hours. And, of course, you know, the average person getting in a jetliner to go somewhere, they have no clue what the qualifications of the crew are, but if the people in the cockpit look like they're barely out of puberty, if they're even gone through it, so then they might want to be a little alarmed. But Pentagon thing, you know, we covered that pretty well, that there should have been huge fireballs and massive amounts of jet fuel over the approach to the Pentagon. There was nothing. But what we know actually took those poles, you know, bent them, was a Global Hawk with the adequate wingspan to actually clip all those poles on the approach on a different trajectory than the original one that they published. So we pretty much know it wasn't the Boeing 757 that did that, and, you know, for a bunch of reasons. But the evidence is clear with the wreckage in front of the helipad that was what impacted the building, was a Global Hawk, unpiloted vehicle that launched a missile into the building first. But go ahead. I don't want to take all your time up.
No, those are all good.
That's perfect.
Bruce,
that's perfect. One more thing, then I'll let the next caller come up. I've been hearing a lot of chatter, you know, things get released to the lefties and then they'll run with it, not knowing that they're actually digging their own grave. But the rumor going around on 4chan is that there are nuclear secrets, that Trump has hidden nuclear codes or nuclear secrets in those boxes, and that's what they were after. Well, also remember that Trump on 9/11, he was pretty adamant that those buildings couldn't have come down the way they did from an airplane strike. And then he changed course, and then he pulled 9/11 on top of Jeb during the primaries and killed him with it. So he might have, you know, this is just speculation on my part, but at this point, everyone's speculating. If he has evidence that 9/11 was a nuclear event, which I agree that you're spot on about that, and so is Joe Olson, I looked through this deep dives on every possible explanation, the nanothermite, the directed energy weapons, and the jet fuel, and by process of elimination, and also with the geological survey evidence, and the cancers, and the boiling hot steel in the basements, and the scale of destruction, and the pulverized concrete, it was a nuclear event. Now, if he has evidence of this, some kind of document they don't want him to have, that he was keeping, you know, for a rainy day, that could be, you know, I'm just putting this out there. What do you think?
Dennis.
Well, I wish it would be the case, but I don't know. I mean, I would have a tendency to think that by the time anything that might have been left over in any of the government indices about their participation in what happened on 9/11 would have been systematically destroyed in all the time that we've had since that event. And I think that if anything, if Trump would have asked any questions, I tried to get any access to that information, I would have made it so that they would have poisoned him with something and killed him, you know, with some kind of a poison, and then blamed it on, you know, bad heart or, you know, whatever. If he has that stuff, I hope he dumps it and puts it out in the public domain. But my take on it is that it's a twofold thing. First off, they fear losing their control in 2024, and more to the point, they know they're going to get slaughtered in the midterms, and they had to do something desperate with the Hail Mary pass, which is what this raid was. So I think, like everybody is understanding, it's going to backfire on them unbelievably, but they're not smart enough to understand that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And when you're a buffoon and a moron and an idiot like Moishe Garfinkel is, also known as Merrick Garland, and you pull stupid stunts like this with an IQ of 12 or whatever it is, there's repercussions for what you've done. And I think that when November comes along, not that it'll change anything as far as the way the country's collapsing, but a lot of places that otherwise might have given the Democrats the benefit of the doubt, you know, there's nobody that really can support a rerun of Biden, you know, bidet boy, for a second term. Nobody wants him. Even the Dinocrats don't want him. And I don't think either side's got the solutions to fix anything. But to get to it, most of what's going on now is a diversionary tactic to keep everybody's eyes off the collapse of the United States. That's where I think it's coming from.
Bruce, excellent questions. I want to bring in Paul. Paul, I know you have a lot to say here. Give us your thoughts.
God damn it. Two shows in a row, and I couldn't call in to set you straight, but...
Here's your chance.
So I do have a pressing question. Do you have any knowledge there close at hand about the quarterback situation there at the university? Are they going to have somebody that can throw the ball down the field this year? Or is it just going to be the...
They've changed the offense around to maximize his strengths. It's going to be mostly short passes, and they have excellent receivers, Paul. But when you have the opportunity to address Dennis, you want to seize it.
No, just having a little fun. So,
he can be on the track he's on. I'm okay with it. I'm fine with whatever he wants to say.
Yeah, no, Paul. Dennis, I heard you. I heard you yesterday. I heard you the other day on with Scorpio and Giuseppe and so forth. So No, in fact, Dennis, he probably doesn't remember, but I do. But you were on, you were the guest when I made my first call to Jim's show way back in the day. I want to say 2016 or 17,
something like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to say 17, probably, 2017, but, yeah. But it could have been earlier than that.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. So I would just say this, and I've already said this a couple of different venues, but I think that they show us what they want us to see, obviously, and they don't show us what they don't want us to see. So it's obvious that they did this, and I don't think it's out of stupidity. Just like I don't think it's out of stupidity that they did Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or any number of things. I think it's exactly like Miles Mathis has been saying for a couple of years or more now. It's a deliberate destruction of the left, of liberalism, so-called. It's a deliberate destruction of the Democrats to drive everybody to the right. Think what liberal used to mean. Liberal was anti-war. Liberal was anti-big government, anti-big corporations, right? Liberal was anti-corruption. Well, that's not what it means now in most people's minds, okay? And now most people associate being a liberal with all this weirdness, all this, you know, drag queen story time hour and pedophilia and absolutely over-the-top, ridiculous, anti-white propaganda constantly. So, you know, this, in my opinion, the best thing that I saw on this was a comment on a BitChute video. Because as you know, Jim and Dennis, you can go anywhere online and you can get multiple different takes, different analysis. People make different videos. They write different things about it. And you have a spectrum and you can sort of pick and choose and maybe blend them together. But this comment on a BitChute video, which was a couple of paragraphs, I believe, hit the important nails on the head, is that they want to legitimize Trump as an outsider, as somebody who's opposed to the deep state, who's opposed to all this corruption, and, you know, maybe to some extent he is, and they want to just galvanize the positions of those supporting him and those opposing him, right? Just like, I mean, think about how perfectly it's gone for these people if they want to constantly create strife and division and set one group against another. He was elected in 2016, pissed off half the country, right? Then he lost the election in 2020, pissed off half the country. And then now, if he wins again in 24, then he's going to, again, piss off half the country or more. Actually, probably not half, because I do believe he won in an overwhelming victory. But you see what I'm saying here. It's all theater. Dennis has it right when he uses the term kabuki theater. And I just think it's nothing that you need to pay any attention to.
Dennis, could you hear Paul?
No, he just dropped out. I hope we didn't.
No. He was still there. I heard him. I don't know why you may not have. Can you respond to what he was saying?
I want to say that he's 100% correct. This is all to polarize and to drive a giant wedge. That's what it's all about. And when the people are at each other's throats over this kind of stuff, they're not paying attention to the important thing, which is trying to throw these scumballs out of office that really desperately need to go. They want to poison us with more jabs and kill off more. And, you know, everything's divide and conquer. Even the Tavistock regime that got thrown out in Britain, where they were running a thing where they're changing genders of children in their custody, and modifying them with hormone inhibitors and stuff like that, finally got exposed and fully aired out. I mean, even stuff like that is really to polarize more than it is to have a meaningful, you know, alteration of the gender of the children. So what's really going on is it's a giant show to keep your eyeballs everywhere but where they really should be, which is on the fact that the government is completely corrupt and it's hell-bent for leather to destroy all of our lives. And until we get consensus from both sides of the political spectrum, joining forces and saying all of these bastards need to be removed, until we get there, we're just like flies that are caught up in amber and can't get out until we become fossils. We're screwed over. So you're 100% correct on your analysis. I think you're right on it.
Paul, further
thank
thought.
You. Just Quickly, I want to ask you a question, Jim. By the way, Dennis, thanks for the extra 50% there. I appreciate that. Jim, I want to ask you a question, and I want to do it with Dennis here on the air. I know what the answer, despite the fact that you may or may not like Trump and so forth, I know how Dennis would answer this question. And I want you to just give me the honest answer, like yes or no, okay, without any long-winded analysis behind it, okay? So, Jim, if you knew, if you found out for a fact that Trump had faked getting the vaccine yet still continued to urge Americans to get the vaccine, would you be done with Trump then if you knew that?
Probably not, because I think he's the only guy really in a position to do more good for the country than anyone else. I do believe he's going to run with DeSantis and clean the clock of the Republicans and do a lot of good. But, Paul, there's so much in politics that is loaded with deception. Dennis, you want to respond to Paul's question? Do you want to respond to Paul's question, Dennis?
Well, he makes a good point, how genuine the man is. You know, on one hand, to compel people to take a jab that potentially is deadly and can kill them, at the bare minimum maims them and leaves them with a lifelong off the chance and not get it himself. I mean, how much more hypocritical does he have to be to lose people's faith? And I think you're making a good point. You're making a very good point about it.
I'm looking at it from a very pragmatic perspective. Who can do whatever they can to set things right? I believe Trump is the guy, and with DeSantis, he'll be devastated. They'll be the dynamic duo.
Okay, listen to me. You're so full of it. You're blind. I am dumbfounded by your answer. And to be honest with you, I can't imagine at least half or more of the listening audience will be absolutely blown away by that. That speaks to the very nature and character of an individual. That's the same to me as you got your top employee, your top manager of your business, and you see him on security video time after time after time stealing from the register, and then come to find out he's been having sex with your daughter. And then somebody says to you, are you done with this man? And you go, probably not. I am literally blown away by your answer, Jim.
Okay, Paul. You're blown away. You're blown away. I'm telling you, Trump is a force for good. He's made a connection with the American people like no other politician in my lifetime, even more so than JFK. And you know how devoted I am to him. In my opinion, it's a question of pragmatic. Paul, I let you say your piece. We have another caller. John, join the conversation. John, if Paul can mute himself.
How you doing, fellas? How's it going, Paul?
Go ahead.
Hey, I think I know what the FBI was looking for in Trump's house. They were looking for the documents of Trump settling out of court for millions of dollars for having sex with kids starting in 1989, 1994, and et cetera, with boys and girls. Look at the court documents, man. Will you stop playing devil's advocate for once?
I'm not playing devil's advocate. I would be floored if that were the case. I would be absolutely floored.
Go look it up.
Dennis, your thoughts.
Yeah, nothing surprises me after the Epstein stuff. And by the way, if anybody thinks Epstein is dead or Kenneth Lay is dead, I got a bridge to sell you. It's been a little bit used, but otherwise, the thing is that these guys operate in a totally different realm than what you and I operate in, and they're entitled to do things that, under any circumstances, if we were caught doing them, we'd be locked up and the key would be thrown away, and that's the end of it. But I have a big problem with hypocrisy, and I have to tell you that if a person is going to talk the talk, they better walk the walk, and that means 100%, not 98 or 97, and picking the lesser of two weevils isn't necessarily a solution. But we haven't had solutions in this country since 1963, because they've always put in whoever they wanted, and they'll make a phone call in the middle of the night and change the outcome of the election with the Bushes, like they did. Not saying that Kerry would have been better or that Al Gore would have been better. I think that they're all tainted meat, but going to character, you know, that's a very important thing. And if a person is willing to look you right in the eye and lie to you and then do something completely contrary to what he's compelling you to do, to me, that's a non sequitur, but that's just me. That's how I see it.
Oh, it's all good, Dennis. Sure. And, you know, I don't recall Trump actually taking the vax. I thought he was given a different treatment at Walter Reed or Bethesda. I forget the details of that. Obviously, I wouldn't be happy about that. But I've spoken out against Trump on numerous counts, especially his deference to Israel. Taking out Qasem Soleimani was, in my opinion, an unforgivable act. He has bent over backwards for Israel, and I faulted him for that. The question is, given we're in desperate straits, can we let perfection be the enemy of the good? I believe he is good and can do a lot of good for the country.
I want you to take another caller because you have, but that's not the point. I don't know if it's true or not. he did go on TV and take the vaccine. I don't know if he faked it or not. It was a hypothetical question, and to me, it's like there's only one answer. But just take a call.
Okay, Paul. Thanks. Yeah, Ken.
Hey, I got names. I can get you names of the kids that were involved in the lawsuits, and I can tell you how much money he paid out.
Send
I got names.
Okay, I want to hear that.
Send me the links. I want to bring in.
Hey, I got another important piece of information that's vital. It won't take but a brief moment.
I've got another caller here, Ken from Michigan. Ken, go ahead.
Jim, thank you for taking my call. Yes, Trump's a patriot, and he's the antithesis of the kiddie fiddler we got in here now. He doesn't drink at all.
Everything's
business for him, and he's a straight arrow. You're not going to get him on any pedophilia.
John and Paul, I'm going
to
cut you off.
You're free to take the vaccine. So go ahead and take the vaccine. You're free to do so.
Is that
You're retarded. Do you understand that? You're a mental retard.
Ken, don't come on and insult another guest like that. I mean, Steve, John, whoever. Dennis, your further thoughts about these matters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, having not seen any of that stuff, I really am kind of blindsided by it. But like I said, if anybody understands where I'm coming from, nothing surprises me anymore relative to the lows that politicians will go to, because they can get away with it. We can't. If one of us gets caught doing these things, not only would we probably get caught and murdered by the donut guards that arrested us, they'd probably put us out of our misery for it before we got put in lockup. But when you're a politician, you know, your operating possibilities are infinite. You can do anything you want, especially if you have money. So I'm not saying, I'm not weighing in one way or the other, but the propensity of the evidence seems to point in the direction of the dinocrats, almost, not saying that the Republicans haven't done their fair share of it, but the dinocrats are the ones that have a propensity for wanting to go after underage children. I never voted really to support dinocrats in my life. I basically was a Republican much of my earlier years. Not saying that I pranced around and declared that I was a member of the GOP, and I didn't always vote straight party line, but now I don't have any particular affiliation because I trust neither. But to get down to it, if I were going to put money on who was the one that was bartering little children and infants, I'd have to say overwhelmingly that the propensity of the proof is that the dinocrats have been doing it. And, to me, that's more reprehensible than almost anything, is to take away the innocence.
Jim, just think how far our country has fallen that we're even talking about that is an actual point of distinction between politicians. We are
in bad shape. There's no doubt about it. Dennis, I can't thank you enough. All of our callers
Hello.
were clear an expression.
I can't get a word in edgewise, Jim.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I want to say, no, this is Bruce. I've been just waiting here. Just 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Paul, I've never heard you address 9/11 in all the years that you've been calling in. And I want to thank you for that because I never have. And every time the discussion is 9/11, you go off into some other topic, which is great. Because since you believe that the earth is flat and nukes don't exist and the moon is made of plasma and all this other stuff, I just want to thank you for not touching 9/11. Because if you agreed with Jim, which you couldn't because you think nukes are fake, and that would be, that would be pretty bad in my opinion.
It's a firm belief, Bruce, and you haven't seen the material. Most people that make aspersions such as you, you have not really looked into the matter. There's some very...
You're the one that called me a shill. You're the one that called me a shill when he came on when I was on mute.
Never called you a shill.
Mr. Gatekeeper. The last caller was on target. You're either retarded or you're a gatekeeper. But either way, you're a sin on the off media. To go off with your Boeing Defense League and all your other fake Nazis because you're full of it. Thank you, Bob.
We've kind of spun off the track. But I appreciate everyone who's called in, all of you. Dennis, we have only a minute or so left. Give me a summary overview of where you think things stand and how this is all going to play out. Dennis.
Just a faggot.
I think that, just to summarize it really quickly without taking up a lot of time, I think we're at the end stages of the United States of America. And for what it's worth, it's going to require a lot of people realizing that the U.S. federal government is their enemy in every way, make, and form. They don't exist to make our lives better. They exist to destroy our lives. They need to be held accountable. Some way, but I don't see a mechanism there for it. Hopefully, we'll be around for a few more months. I think by next year, right?
Spend all the time you can with your friends and loved ones. We do not know how much time we have left. Back on Monday. Have a great weekend with those you love.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and